This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back, and it's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. The iPhone X, it's been launched. It will be ready here in Malaysia on the 24th of November. But I have a problem, not just with the phone itself, but I have a problem with Apple as a brand. Because I think the iPhone X, Matt...
Jeff's looking at me knowing I'm getting angry now.
So the iPhone X, Matt, is a sign that Apple is no longer the Apple company that I used to know, where it demands simplicity, it demands the ease of usage. I read the Steve Jobs biography, and I remember there was one chapter where how he demanded simplicity in printing, because we all know printers are from hell, and it is really difficult to get a printer working when you need it. And
I have three in my house that don't work when I need it, and one that I rely on but doesn't really work.
So Steve Jobs was sat in a room with all the engineers and told all the engineers that, you know, he wants to make printing easier. They came back with him with a whole bunch of, you know, drawing plans of how he could make it easier. He threw all of it away because he just wanted a button that says file, print, and that's it. You keep all the other, you know, crazy bits behind that I don't need to see. The iPhone X, though, with the removal of that home button, which I think is the only reason why the iPhone has just been so easy to use from toddlers to grandparents, it's not that simple anymore. Yes, it's a great phone. It prosumers, people like Umar, people like me, or even you know, like you as well, would love the iPhone X. But I think it's catering to a new type of people. It's catering to the people where you mentioned, you know, have this problem where they search for that happiness. And I
almost disagree with something you said there, because I don't think I will like the iPhone X that much for that very reason. A lot of the Android phones have done away with physical buttons, and I have a real problem with that. I think the Samsung Galaxy Edge phones are really lovely, but the way I'm used to holding a phone means that I'm constantly activating the screen just by holding it, because the sides of it are actually active as well. So I think you're right. We are getting away from this era where phones are intuitive.
Because it feels like it's just a lot more complicated. I mean, it's a great phone. It's got all the high-spec hardware that you would need. It's got all the new-age technology that we've been critical of Apple before, that, you know, they're not innovators. They don't seem to, you know, understand how things have changed so fast, and especially with Android, you know, Android has leapfrogged them, even though, you know, Android started behind. But I think it's come to a point of time where Apple don't seem to cater to the purists anymore. They seem to want to cater to people who are, you know, I don't know what to say, but like the Final Cut Pro, for example. When Final Cut Pro X came out, it completely ditched all the professional users, because everyone then moved to Adobe, because Final Cut Pro X was just like an iMovie Pro. And it's the same with all kinds of, even the MacBook Pro, the one with the touch bar. It now takes two steps or three to turn up the volume or turn down the volume with the touch bar. Whereas on my old MacBook
Pro,
hit the button. It's a one button action. Yeah. The iPhone X, to do simple things that previously it would take, you know, either just one thing to do, now it takes double the steps, or you got to memorize, you know, how to actually operate a phone.
Yeah, I think we're in this period at the moment, we're in this kind of hybrid realm at the moment, where the devices are getting much more complicated, but our means of controlling them is not evolving quite so rapidly. You can see that all the companies want to move towards voice recognition for all of these services, but we're still not quite there yet. You know, whether it's Siri or Alexa or Google now, they're not quite sophisticated enough. And also, they rely so much on the cloud. They're not able to live in our phones strongly enough to be able to automate everything when we don't have a data connection. I agree with you. I mean, when you sent me the article about this, there was a link in there that said six new hand gestures for the iPad Pro, which is something from last year. And honestly, I haven't bothered to learn any of those hand gestures
because
at all.
So because we're just so used to it.
No, and also to because I can't be bothered. You know, you have to do all these weird contortions with your hands. And I mean, it should be intuitive. And that's something that we have said on the show a lot. I mean, that's always been the reason that I haven't really liked Android phones as much as I've liked the iOS phones, the Apple phones, simply because the Apple phones are more intuitive. If Apple's phones are becoming more like Android phones, then there's really not a great reason to actually own them.
True.
I know a lot of people don't use the Microsoft phones, the Windows phones, but again, they are very intuitive and easy to use, far more so than the Android phones. Obviously, that's not going to get people to use them.
But, everyone's going to switch to Windows Phone.
And everyone used to say, you know, they loved their BlackBerrys, but BlackBerry's operating system was not very good. I mean, it was complicated. It was like a PDA from, you know, the last century, basically, because that's effectively what it was what it was based on. We want devices that are very simple to use, and at the moment, nobody is actually delivering on that promise.
I think we want a lot more from our phones because Apple came in. Well, you know, who destroyed BlackBerry? It was Apple. When Apple came in because of its simplicity, that everyone could use the phone. It was just so easy. You could buy it off from the store and immediately you knew how to use it. You don't need a manual for it. But right now, though, it feels like, you know, there isn't any device. And it's not just Apple here. I'm not just bashing Apple here. It's every single manufacturer, whether it's Android or whether it's Apple, iOS, every single device just feels a lot more complicated than what it should just be.
Also, I really don't understand what the problem is with buttons. I really don't have a problem with buttons on my phone.
Not only on phones, but on cars. Have you realized a lot of cars these days seems to switch from buttons to touchscreen when it's so counterintuitive? Because are you expecting me to look at where I'm touching or to look where I'm driving?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I physically have no control over where Bluetooth goes to once I turn the engine of the car on. It automatically routes itself to the car, no matter how many times I switch it back to the phone. Like, for example, if I'm doing if I'm stopping to do a phone interview with BFM, for example, I have to turn the engine of the car off to do it. Otherwise, it keeps switching and it ruins the recording. We are definitely losing some of the control over the technology, partly because we don't really understand it, and also because I think that the manufacturers are not thinking hard enough about the way people use these devices.
Yeah.
So I'm all for buttons.
Yeah,
also,
I'm for buttons too.
I know we're staying on this iPhone thing for a bit too long, but there was another story I read this week, which was the fact that for $1,000 US, the iPhone X should not be as fragile as it is. You know, if you're spending that much money on a phone, you really do expect it to be completely robust. I mean, I know it's lovely to have glass backs and glass fronts and all this kind of stuff, but if that glass back breaks...
Yeah, apparently if the back breaks, it's gone. The whole phone is gone.
Yes, or the cost of replacing it is so prohibitive that you might as well. And we all drop our phones, which means that they've put this tempered glass on the back, and then we're all going to have to put cases over the top of it anyway, just to stop it.
The whole purpose,
yeah, exactly. You know, we're getting to the point now where the devices are so expensive that they, you know, we can't afford for them to be fragile. You know, again, I just get a little bit annoyed by this kind of stuff. Buttons, give us a headphone port.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things are making the devices less usable, not more usable.
I want to know which human being decided that having front-facing speakers is actually better than a headphone jack. Because I don't know anyone who would view any content on their phone, be it a song or a YouTube video, and play it off from his screen on a loudspeaker.
I do. It's always the old lady who's sitting next to me whenever I sit down to eat.
And she's clearly not a CTO of Apple or any other company or manufacturer who's decided to ditch the headphone jack, because clearly Bluetooth is not as good as the headphone jack. So why do you ditch that?
I mean,
give me a button. I want buttons.
I know. I'm sitting here with a Bluetooth headset on the table as we record, and I do like my Bluetooth phones, but I don't want to rely on them rather than having a headphone jack because, you know, they rely on a battery. They go dead. I want to be able to plug something in without having a weird, complicated doohickey and 20 different jacks. I mean, it's the same with my MacBook at the moment because it only has that single USB-C port. So I have to bring adapters around with me if I want to do anything else. Yeah. It's not usable.
Yeah. Anyways, we've got a lot more stories, but we got to take a break. We'll be right back after this. BFM 89.9.
Barcelona, Fiorentina, Manchester United, BFM 89.9.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks. My name is Joe Sander, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. We do have King of the Crowd.
Yes, I actually chose this story for you, strangely enough, because... obviously, I'm not the biggest supporter of virtual reality.
That's putting it nicely.
Yes. now, we all know the show Mythbusters.
Oh, love
so,
it.
Yeah. So one of the guys, Jamie Heineman, he is a bit of a boffin and a tinkerer and inventor himself. He's been working on a mobile shoe for many, many years. So the idea that he had was to come up with a shoe that would give you a bit of added speed. So like when you're on a travelator in an airport, so that it would be something that allowed you to, you know, you're walking, but it will actually give you a bit of a boost. Yeah. But it turns out that that's actually really, really difficult because it requires your shoes to be really huge and heavy. So he's actually turned his invention a little for the time being. And what he's trying to make are virtual reality electric shoes. So now, one of the things with virtual reality, obviously, is, you know, you want to be immersive and you want to be able to feel as though you're moving within those kind of games. What we can't really do at the moment is move around wearing the headsets because they block out our vision. So you end up walking into the furniture and falling over. And either that or you have to use these really elaborate multi-directional treadmills, which are massively
huge.
Expensive. Yeah. So what he's come up with is actually a kind of treadmill shoe that goes in all kinds of different directions.
It's like rollerblades.
Yeah. He's calling it the Vortrex, which is possibly the worst name. Vortrex. It sounds, you know, it sounds like some chemical composite, some plastics company from Taiwan or something. But it is actually a real thing. He's not selling the actual shoes as yet. So what he's doing is he's actually just trying to get people to help him raise funds to build a prototype for this device. It will be adjustable. So it's kind of a one size fits all. His goal is, I think, $50,000. He's raised nearly $10,000 so far.
Okay,
So you can pitch in pretty much what you want. But he's giving away because he's a bit of an apocalypse nut.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's worried about the oncoming zombie apocalypse, like us all. So if you do contribute towards his project, he will send you a Jamie Heineman branded bug out bag full of all kinds of equipment, ranging from pocket axes to his own branded...
he's got a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, gaffer tape. There's a proper Swiss Army knife in there, duct tape.
It's the Heineman duct tape as well. It's not just any duct tape.
Yeah, it's his own, it's his own branded tape. So if you are interested in getting VR off to a sort of more useful level where it's, you know, not just the headsets, you can contribute to this now. This is Jamie Heineman's virtual reality electric shoes. This is the Vortrex. That's on Indiegogo. So... if you feel like giving him a bit of your money, do.
Now, let's talk a bit about AI. And, you know, Amazon's Alexa seems to be in the news for, sometimes it's for good reasons, but most of the time we stumble across reasons for the wrongdoings. You know, I think it was previously part of an evidence of a murder. It was also part of an evidence of, I think it was one of these, you know, arguments in the house, and Alexa was recording a whole bunch of things. And right now in Germany, a man was charged with a huge bill because Amazon Alexa decided to have a party. on its own at 1:50 a.m. when the owner was not around. So apparently neighbors in the flats that this gentleman was staying in Germany was complaining that someone on the other side of this apartment here is throwing a massive party in 1:30 a.m. or 1:50 a.m. So cops came in, knocked on the door. No one was answering because the music was on full blast. Broke into his home to find no one but a black device, a black automated assistant device, which is clearly an Amazon Alexa.
An Echo speaker.
An Echo
right.
speaker. Yes. And it just left the homeowner confused and dazed as to how did this even happen?
Well, this is one of the issues. I mean, as we were saying with the iPhone before the break, voice activation is not really where it should be at. Now, we know that Echo devices can also be triggered by people talking about them on the TV. So you can have
South
a news...
Park.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and people are doing it deliberately, but also on news pieces as well. It can trigger your device to do various things. Mm. It is kind of dodgy to let these things be in control of your house. I mean, Amazon wants to be able to control various elements of your house, your lights.
They even want to get into your home to deliver packages.
Exactly. And it's the same with the other companies as well. Mm. You know, Google has its Google Home.
Yeah.
Apple is also coming into area as well. It isn't necessarily a good idea to have these web-connected devices being able to take over various elements of your house. I know it looks as though it is, and that may well be the future, but we already have the issue where we know that baby monitoring devices can very easily be hacked.
Those and are people the easiest.
Can, yeah, easy, very, very easy, and people can listen in. So these devices are all vulnerable, but they're also quite idiosyncratic. you know, because, again, we've no idea really why this thing triggered, why it went off.
It's probably someone shouting across the street.
Yeah, across the street.
No idea.
Or it, you know, maybe it understands what the cat says. You know, the cat says, you know, hey,
meow, meow.
You know, yeah, meow, meow, it's time to wake up and party. I'm awake at night. You know, we really don't know. So we can expect a lot more of these things to happen in the future.
Mm.
And this is actually quite benign. I mean, it just annoyed some of the neighbors.
Yeah.
But you know, it could be more serious. Like, for example, turning on a microwave with nothing inside it, which, you know, could potentially whatever. Mm. Or again, turning the gas on your cooker to heat up some water, and of course the flame blows out. Mm-mm. And then what happens?
Yeah.
You know, we do have to be very careful about all of these things.
So it looks like the AI is having a party of its own, but it's also not just listening to music; it's also watching CSI.
Well, we're all watching CSI. No, one of the things with artificial intelligence is that it's very good at crunching data sets, but it's not very good at anticipation.
Yeah.
So when you look at a TV show like CSI, where it has a quite rigid formula, you know, you have a
dead body at the
start.
Thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. So there's a body, somebody draws a chalk outline around it, the Who get to play their songs, and you know, we have to then guess who the actual villain is.
That's the whole fun.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we know what's going to happen in the show. We know roughly that it's going to be solved within 1 to 2 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just fun to follow along. And by and large, most humans, by the time they get to
the last 10 minutes,
about 85% of us can actually guess roughly who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with machines, that's a lot more difficult.
Oh.
They don't have this anticipatory power. So what's been going on is that some guys at the University of Edinburgh, they've actually been training AI to watch episodes of CSI Las Vegas. Of course, it has to be Las Vegas because that's the classic.
The classic one, yeah.
The idea was that it would try and identify who the perpetrator was and flash up a message whenever that person was on the screen. So saying, you know, the villain is here. As it gets further and further into the show, it gets more and more accurate. It's still not to the point where it's equivalent to a human being, but they have got it up to a point where it's about 60% accurate.
Oh. So it's coming up close to humans.
It's coming up because one of the things is that the AI finds it hard to put all the data together and view it in context. So it's analyzing things sentence by sentence. So as our AI improves and it's able to contextualize information and combine all this information a lot more closely, it should actually start to be more accurate. But yeah, it's kind of nice. You know, even AI deserves some downtime by watching some quality TV.
All right. We got to go straight to Geek Tunes. Now, this week we have, well, following up the CSI story, The Undisputed Truth.
Yes. No, this is to go along with the story that we had before the break, The Seven Deadly Signs, because it contains the fantastic line, "Turn that frown upside down." This is The Undisputed Truth, Smiling Faces Sometimes, from 1971.
Wow, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.